Greetings and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you all of you for joining me for today's August 9th, the year 2025's transmission. And it is always a pleasure to be with you. And I hope all of you have had a beautiful summer so far. And also to highlight the Lionsgate, and I hope all of you have set your intentions and worked on some of the structuring that we all need from time to time to reassess and reevaluate. And it's also Mercury retrograde that's also coming to a close soon, but we're also in the shadow phase as well. So, some of the audience has requested for me to speak upon some topics. And my goal is to adhere to those requests in a very concise manner. And some topics might extend into extra broadcasts about the topic or an extension of that. And some of the topics were consisting of sovereignty and correlating with some topics I've discussed in the past about custody of the mind and asserting oneself with the aspects of that personal sovereignty, the control of oneself, the self-assertion, and also defending one's thoughts also against mind control. And mind control can consist of a myriad of ways, whether it be through agents that we know not of but affect us, and also those that are in our immediate circle. And so, by association, there are things that we can encounter and elements that we can encounter. And you could be a very distinguished and very empowered and self-aware individual, yet it is not uncommon for one to be susceptible to the intensity and also the deleterious effects that mind control can permeate and can posit upon even the greatest and most empowered self in another being. So I will discuss some of that, and that probably will be a topic that I will discuss more and in further detail in upcoming shows as well. And I do find that to be of great significance because it is so important, because there's a tyranny that occurs. And being on planet Earth in this third dimensional realm, one can say that we're in a prison. Right, if we're in the matrix, and one can say that we're in the most galactic evolutionary stage of being, and that we're in our freedom, and that we're elevating into this 5D consciousness and beyond, which I agree. I agree on both. I agree, and I respect the perspectives of all because they're all significant. So if there's a thought occurring within the self, if there's an application of that thought, and then there's been externalization in the world of such truths that there is imprisonment of people and animals and nature, right? And then if you look in another realm, there's also freedom, and we are given the gift of free will by God Almighty. Yet there are those that wish to subvert us to their will on a grand scale and also on a more intimate scale as well. And so, when we're confronted with this dichotomy, and there's this just vast departure from what we are inherently blessed with, that we are given that freedom of free will and that sovereignty, and to truly have a fundamental right, correct? But if we have in our personal sovereignty and we don't have a control over our own mind, body, spirit, and there has been, let's say, a takeover by either very skilled agents or chemicals or MK Ultra or under frequencies that we cannot see, that animals can see and sense, but most of us can't see. And also when we're under perhaps even a possession of some sort. And one can say, well, possession isn't real. One can say it does exist. But I'm opening everything up for interpretation because this is a show that is with no judgment, but it's open to all. As Socrates said, right, I know that I know nothing, which in the humility of like Socrates literally did not mean that he didn't know anything, as you all know. However, it's looking into that cycle, that bandwidth of in knowledge. We're at a precipice where we are consistently learning. And if we close the door on whatever we can learn exponentially, then we limit and prohibit ourselves from actually attaining a deeper knowledge, a deeper intellectual wisdom, a deeper psycho-spiritual wisdom. And when we continue to open the door to explore and not shut down certain ideologies and also hypotheses, right? Then we expand our mind and we can have our opinion, of course. We have the right to our opinions, but then there are facts and there is the contributing aspect of when there's a dialogue held in a safe realm of no judgment, where we allow ourselves to speak freely, that is also sovereignty. And in that, we're able to engage and to evolve and to exist in this positively perpetual cycle of evolution and also self-actualization. So when we look at I know that I know nothing, well, that is in the vastness. That is in the vastness of the whole universal cosmic realm that we learn something, we continue to learn something, we master something, and then we continue to master it. And then we launch to the next point of immediacy that's congruent, aligned with that further ascension into that deeper knowledge and wisdom, which there's in this vast universe, there's so much. So when we think we know everything, we might think we know everything to a certain point. So it might be true that yes, you know everything to a certain point, and then there's the degree of contention, and then the common denominator is now where's my set point? Where do I go from here? But when you don't have the sovereignty, when you don't have that personal psycho-spiritual autonomy to continue to learn and to seek that knowledge, you're prohibited and you're kept in a limited space. And so when one speaks about ascension, when we're ascending and we're going into the crystalline body, which is another topic also, someone had asked me if I could discuss at length, which I will do my best to kind of intercorrelate some of these topics together because they're all cohesive. They all actually work in tandem with one another. So when we go into the application of that sovereignty and we are allowed to truly emphasize what our building blocks are, our responsibilities, making our conscious choices on our own, and not having our conscious and subconscious choices made for us by an external agent that attempts to govern us, whether it's governing of ourself in the spiritual, where we could be susceptible to a possession or to subjective thoughts with an objective agenda from the person who is facilitating something, right? Or if we are under an experiment, right? Or if we're actually doing it to ourselves, which can be true. Most of us imprison ourselves with our self-guilt, our self-imposed shame, are self-imposed wounds. And that is very common, of course. But if it's ourself, at least we have that freedom to assess and to explore and implore and truly investigate deeper if we have the courage to confront it, and it's ourself. So we have a higher possibility of self-analysis and healing in that way and overcoming that obstacle. But when it is facilitated and posited by an external agent, right? An individual or a group of individuals. And you see it constantly. You see mind control. It's been going on for, I think since the beginning of time, truly, but in which mind control has been taken into a place of a skill set and applied with frequencies, let's say, and things that are being used constantly, at least the last 100 years for sure. But in the spiritual realm, and remember that to utter a word, ether, utter an ether, are coinciding because to utter a word goes into the ether. So thoughts do become things. That's why it's so significant and paramount to think of positive things, especially when you're consciously reconditioning, right? But when we say a prayer, when we say a mantra, when we say an affirmation, there's so much brevity and weight to those words, and to speak and spell. And to spell, as the ancient scribes would, there's the power from the ink well or the tool to the papyrus or to the stone, right? And now in modern day, we have paper, not the quill and pen, that is the pen, but now we have the pen and now we have just everything digital, right? But there is a power to the mind, to the hand, and to that expression of setting that intention onto paper to make it tangible, to materialize it into form. But thoughts do become the thing. So even if it's not written down, but to speak and spell the ancient scribes, that is part of it, where that's where spell comes from. To spell a word, to spell, well, that permeates into existence. So whatever you write down or whatever you utter, it goes into a frequency. And there are those that are very powerful in using it for good. And just like there's power used for good, as you know, the contrary, there is power used for nefarious purposes. And thereby, when we are subverted to the will of a nefarious force, even if we are in our most purest state and we might be operating in the world with a do good, be kind, right, type of mentality and our attitude, that we literally walk amidst and we share this, beautiful example of being kind, doing good, walking the path of Jesus Christ, walking the path of Buddha, whatever is respective, or walking the path of just being a loving human cosmic being here on planet Earth, whatever res is respective to your belief system. And all in all, at the end of it all, it is one common sum that we might have great intentions, but there are those that do not have great intentions. And so when we see the good in everyone, we see the light in everyone, or we have the pursuit of self-exploration. We have the pursuit of knowledge, which is part of what Socrates spoke of, that I know that I know nothing. So, of course, it's totally, completely natural to want to go into an investigative aspect of ourself, to really go into the deeper abyss of ourself. And actually, technically, right now, in the astrological realm, we're in a new moon, a full moon right now. We're in Leo season. We have a retrograde, Mercury retrograde, that's coming to a close soon. And we're in Aquarius. And so When we look at the Leo season, because we're, in a this illumination, it's part of our identity. And so our identity can shine through that lens of the collective, right? If we allow it. And sometimes if we're not able to be given that permission of self, or if we're being subverted by the will of another, in essence, mind control, or the attempt of mind control, or the attempt of that, let's say, hypnotic trance. And sometimes there's the ontological effects of that, right? Sometimes some there could be like the subjection to what isn't serving the self, and then you might question, what's wrong with me? Something is not right. I'm not in the custody of my mind. Well, this right now is actually a perfect time, because in this astrological time frame, we're in the creativity, we're in the boldness, we're in the courage and the joy. And this is the time to really learn to re-express our joy. And when we have control, there's no joy. But when we have joy, we have freedom, right? And so we look at this in this symmetry here of self-identity, and that shines through in the collective, and the collective conscious, the collective unconscious. And we look at the full moon, and the full moon is always related to the tides of our emotions. And so much transformation can occur in a full moon. And so we look at how the tides come in and the tides flow out, much like the tides of our emotions and the tides of our own personal cycles. So, Leo, we're in Leo season, Leontine. And so, the creator, the beautiful lion. And it is also the performer. It is also that inspirer. It's the inspiration muse. In its own way, it's the emperor of being bold and courageous. And when you apply that with the Aquarius, an Aquarius is essentially the professor, the educator, but also free, though. There's a sovereignty of, there's autonomy. There's freedom there. There's just that fluidity and the permission to be fluid. And so when we look into the Aquarius aspect, what's well-informed, that well-informed guide, that freedom to operate in a world, and the boundaries, there's healthy boundaries and also boundaries that are created for us for certain reasons. But we do our due diligence, right? And so when we look at Leo, just specifically for right now, because I feel like this is completely in tandem with what I'm speaking about, having custody of the mind and heart and spirit, actually, because heart would be the third brain. Some people might say it's the main brain, but you have the brain, you have the stomach is the second brain, the heart is the third brain. Many people might believe otherwise, but that's how I've seen it in my personal life. But you're welcome to think whatever and your knowledge and apply that. So just be open with what I'm saying. So while Leo is ruling, I'd say the deepest abyss of the heart, and then we have in the Aquarius element, the right side of the mind, right thought action. Right? Sometimes we hear that I followed my heart. I didn't listen to my mind. Sometimes, oh, I listened to my mind and I didn't follow my heart. Well, this is where the conflict between the dialogue between the heart and the mind. And sometimes some of you may have noticed with others, like, oh, butterflies in the stomach, right? And the stomach is upset, or, and because the stomach is the second brain, it digests all the emotions, right? But if you look at the heart space, and the heart wants to speak freely. The heart knows what it wants, and the heart goes where it flows. But the mind says no, and the mind is critical, and the heart is open and flowing. Or the heart has been enraptured in chains because of being broken so many times that there's a fear of the heart. But the mind is saying, let's try, it's a new day, right? So there's so much up for interpretation here, but there is a great significance with what I'm coming to with this. So when you have the heart and mind, in an imbalance or in a balance, it can be quite difficult to literally go into that dialogue of the heart because you don't know what you can trust. You don't know if you can trust your mind or your heart or either of the two. Or you feel like, oh, my mind is making cohesive sense. I'm being really logical right now. I'm being very pragmatic. This is the safe route for me. But my heart is quenching. My heart is feeling this draw. Well, that's when you might have to go into what keeps you safe and write a list. What are the pros? What are the cons? And so when you go into that dialogue and you literally separate the two, you see where your heart and your mind are having a symbiosis, where they're congruent, and then where they're having a disagreement, right? And let's say your mind is, well, that's just nonsensical. I don't think that that's right because you're burned every time. And the heart says, no, there's something different about this situation, right? That's also when you have to go even deeper because the mind and the heart are having this perpetual dialogue. So, what I mean by that is that you want to go into a place where that custody of the mind is dealt in a delicate way at your pace, but also when you go through your own collective unconscious, your subconscious, and you also look at your higher consciousness, your super consciousness, and your interstellar consciousness, right? You look in your Christ consciousness, your Buddha consciousness, your cosmic consciousness, right? You tone down the chatter. You turn over a new leaf. You tone down that conflict within, and you just write it out, just like spelling, to scribe and to spell. You write it out. You think it out. You cognitively discuss it with a trusted person, and your thoughts do become things. But then you recognize when you hear yourself or when you see what you've written down. Julia Cameron says that, or other people too, but Julia Cameron, the author of The Artist's Way or The Golden Veins of Gold, she's amazing if you're a writer or anything of that because she's very helpful. Very helpful. Well, she says that if you write for 20 minutes, if you're writing a book, let's say, or you're writing a paper, you're doing an assignment, and you write down whatever is on your mind for 20 minutes, that scrubs the subconscious, like all of the things in the way. It scrubs to get to that deeper part of the subconscious that really wants to speak, and then you can assimilate to the higher consciousness. So sometimes you have to do that as well. And just whatever comes out of your mind or whatever your heart is saying, write it down. And then look at it. And after you look at it, you'll see that, wow, okay, this is making more sense now. I feel a little bit more clarity with this. And I will say that this would be a very good time, effectively, right now, especially under a full moon, because there's transformation happening. So if we look at ourselves in a collective, right, and what, how can we coexist, co-create, co-contribute, and also what can we contribute to ourselves and our own patterns that are benefic to our sovereignty, benefic to our autonomy, benefic to our custody of our mind and heart, custody of our mind, body, and heart, custody of our soul. And so when we have that, we look into what brings life, what brings life within us. And if we're drawing forth light within us, nothing else can destroy us, right? Nothing else can subvert us to that nefarious will. And so when we're drawing in our personal light and we see how it's applied effectively, we can look into the matter of our personal desires, our pursuits, our objectives, And we can adhere to that and not allow the self-sabotage to commence, because when we don't have custody of our mind, we don't have that self-initiation, we are going to be very vulnerable to the energy of self-sabotage and the program of self-sabotage, because there are programs and systems that can run in place. And the most common ones are, of course, self-sabotage. It happens to us all. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of the unknown. You have it all right in front of you, but then you walk away. Why? Because you're afraid. Why? Because you were frozen. Why? Because you were so afraid of what's on the other side when you receive that prize, when you receive that golden trophy, when you receive the first place medal, right? When you receive that scholarship, when you receive that record deal, when you receive that ability to have your book signed and purchased, and you have a book deal, and you know you could become a number one best-selling author, right? Anything. Even if it's learning how to play the guitar or learning how to golf or something so simple, there's a part that we can self-sabotage, but we can also self-sabotage in other ways. And so we really want to look at this time as a reset, essentially. So when we're looking in the pursuits of our objectives and what is a true goal for us in any way, and when we're adhering to our goals, what can we truly bring in? What can we draw in for us? So we look at, wow, these are the pros, these are the cons, these are the scary parts, these are the fun parts. This is the freedom that I can have, where if I accomplish this goal, then I can accomplish the other goal. But sometimes when you're on the path, though, of positivity, there's something that can creep up that says and throws a wrench in the third dimension and says, no, we're going to keep you here so you don't transcend into the fifth dimension while you're living here on planet Earth. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes there's karmic aspects. Sometimes there are things that your soul recalls, the soul's memory. And when we are able to identify it, great. But when we're not able to identify it, that's when we can get into a destructive, I would say, a perpetually self-destructive spiral, because we're not in control. And that is precisely what happens when we don't have custody of our mind. And so, precisely at this moment, a reset, if you will, like a system update reset. So, we look at our energy systems, we look at our patterns, we look at our own programs that we're running within ourselves, where, yes, I tend to allow myself to take a back seat. I tend to allow myself to dim myself. I tend to allow others to win, and I'll just let them take the reins. It's safer for me to hide behind the scenes. Or maybe I deserve something negative. Maybe you subconsciously feel like you deserve to not win for some reason. Well, this is why it's truly significant to explore these goals and have custody of your mind and autonomy, because if there is an essence of mind control, if there is an essence of subjective thoughts that are intrusive, whether it's yourself or someone else, this is why it's just the most paramount to really delve and dig in and protect the self, protect the mind, protect the heart, protect the body, protect the spirit, and look at this time and look at your ideals. What's significant for you? What's important? What's sacred to you? And often we look at the sacredness of our change and transformation. Everyone's always on a goal, right, to change. How often is it that, let's say, we encounter the quintessential New Year's Eve, right? The goal of New Year's Eve, on New Year's Eve, okay, this is the last time I'm gonna gamble or smoke a cigarette or eat a piece of chocolate or be mean to my, brother, or I'm gonna clean my room every day for 365 days, or I'm gonna quit drinking. All right, I'm gonna go to the gym every single day. Right. You hear that. It's common. It's only common. But there's the reset. We're always looking for a reset. And oftentimes we might fail to recognize that now is now. That why not in the now and in the present moment? That, yeah, if we fall off the horse, 7 times, we get back up on the horse 8 times, right? And that's okay. We just get back up and do it. But we put pressure upon ourselves, right? And that can also infiltrate in the custody of our mind and mind control us into a thought of that self-sabotage. Well, it didn't work the last 20 New Years that I had a chance, so I give up. I'm just gonna keep going. Well, you don't have to wait for New Year's. You don't have to wait for a specific time. A lot of people say, oh, I'm gonna wait for, let's say, my birthday, right? And then February or March comes along and you feel like, wow, perhaps I'll wait till after Easter or Ramadan or Lent or the sh Rosh Hashanah, anything, right? And then that comes and goes. So when you look, why can't you start now? And some of you that do start now, bravo, brava, because that is the hardest thing to go to. So when you're able to just go into it now, congratulations, because you weren't waiting for a specific timeline. And I get it. If there's something about, if there's a money thing involved or something, there's different exclusions to this, but I'm speaking in the esoteric, energetic form and function of the mind, body, soul, right? So when you're actually like, I'm going to do it now, I'm going to stop this right now. That is the beginning. That is the first step of that journey. That is a single step, right? And you're also telling the universe, you're telling God, you're telling the cosmic consciousness, you're telling the universal angelic realm. You're speaking to your highest conscious state of mind and your subconscious that I'm taking control right now. I am choosing to put an end to this negative action or negative behavior or negative ongoing that I'm recognizing, even if it's very difficult to do. And even if it's so personal that it's so difficult to share it with anyone. But that's why I have this show, because I'm speaking to people that might not be able to share certain things. But I speak about these topics because it might be helpful to those that ask me, and then those that might feel like, wow, I never thought of that, or that's actually interesting. So when you look at, when you make that change now, and this is actually a synchronistic time, personally, though, and one might say, oh, it's not a good time, or I'm in divine timing, and I respect that. But the best time to start sometimes is right now, especially if it's a negative self-destructive behavior or it's negative abuse posited from someone else. And when it's energetically and telepathically, and you're recognizing that, and you are able to place the shield up and cease, halt, stop, then you work through it on your own, of course, but at least you were able to say, stop. I choose to cease this subjectivity of this behavior. I choose to cease being the recipient of this abuse. I hereby choose to cease this telepathic, energetic thoughts become things. And like I said earlier, there are those that are very skilled. We're going back to ancient times. Those that are very skilled, that have the power to do certain things. But whenever there's a power that's used for negativity and not for the goodwill of all, There's always something that comes along with that to the offenser, right? And so, anyhow, when I speak of the change agents, right, and the transformation that can unfold, and how we look at our energy systems, this is an ideal time to reset that. And we could also look into like a compare contrast of our old systems, right? Like, what was it last week that ran us? What was it last year? How would we have dealt with something if it was 10 years ago versus, wow, 10 months ago, 10 days ago? It's amazing and miraculous what we can do. So I'm reminding you all of your power and the empowerment, because when you just seek and you take one positive action, right thought action, which is part of the Aquarius right now, and we're in the Leo realm, and we're in the complete acquiescence of the powerful lion, and also the beautiful professor, the all-knowing, and the fluidity, the freedom of thought. There's a power, there's an extra duplicitous power there. And so, what better time to assert your own power now? And one thing also I want to make sure I mention is that contracts, if you look in the spiritual aspect of karmic contracts, right, our soul has a unique format of intentions. Sometimes we choose to reincarnate and to come here to do something or to balance something that was prior imbalanced, or something that we're setting the stage in this particular life for the next life, perhaps, right? And if you don't believe in reincarnation, then that's fine. But I'm speaking to what I've observed and what others have shared and would like me to discuss as well. So we look at that unique formulation of our divine soul's rightful inheritance to this life and the contracts that we share, negative and positive. And remember that there's always the positive action, positive result, negative action, negative result at some point in time. And one might ask, and one often asks, why is it that good people suffer? Why is it that innocent children, innocent animals suffer? Why is that? There's always the cause and effect in this world and the things that are unknown to us, right? But at some point in time, and sometimes you'll see the instant karma and the holy instance of things where, wow, someone was really horrific to an innocent being, and then within nanoseconds, something horrific happened to them. And I'm not wishing ill upon anyone. I'm just speaking in the matter of energetic frequencies and karmic realities, right? But then sometimes there's someone who just gets away with everything. Literally, we're speaking of crime and injustices and murder and all of that. But then there's the consequence and the exponential consequences. So in that particular person's karmic contract, whether they believe in it or not, and typically those that do believe in karma, they're aware, and sometimes there are those of the Luciferian aspects that do proclaim that if they express their intentions in a subliminal way or even right there in front of your face, that thereby they are null and void of any karmic residual consequences because they told us, right? So that's what they believe. But in the natural order of the karmatic law, the natural order of to have a response to an action, reaction to an action, the consequence of that action, positive or negative. Well, the universe is so vast, these lifetimes or lifetime is so grand that we just never know when that's going to catch up and make things right or set justice in alignment. So when I speak of karmic contracts, I'm just going to go from a clean slate, but I just wanted to preface by expressing that, because Karmic contracts, some people find to be a very delicate subject. Some are very intrigued, some get triggered, and I understand why. So, just wanted to express that prior to getting into the karmic contracts. And this also aligns with the custody of the mind, the freedom of the self, the sovereignty. So, when we witness our daily life and we look at each life essentially like in the sacredness of God's geometry, everything is in a certain precision, a state of perfection, a state of uniqueness, right? You're unique, I'm unique, our brothers and sisters are unique, our friends and our colleagues, we're all unique, but we might have similarities, of course. We might have things in common. Our souls may have had a, let's say, like we feel like, wow, this is like my brother from another mother, my sister from another father, or anything, right? It could be, right? We're like, wow, I feel like we're from the same planet. Well, there's that. Then there are also those that are completely not aligned that way. And there's conflict. Or there's that, let's stay away, and any kind of angst. So just covering the technicalities of this, right? Everyone gets my thought here, where there's going to be either harmony or conflict. And then sometimes it's conflict, and then it turns and transmutes into harmony. And those are the most beautiful. Those are definitely karmic because, and sometimes it is harmonious in the inception, the genesis of the relationship, and then it transmutes into conflict. And that's also karmic as well. Because sometimes we're here to set things right. Sometimes we're the one that didn't set it right, and the other person was here to set it right. Sometimes we're the one that's supposed to set it right, but the other person wasn't open to it, right? So neither we are to blame or to be at fault when it comes to these things. It's just how it happens. But if we're more open and inclined to set things right, then we're more on the path of that self-actualization of our soul's archetypal pursuit of achieving the next level transformational state, right? But if we're limited and we're refusing to transcend, then of course we're going to stay in a state. And if that's comfortable for you, then that's, I'm respective of that. Who am I? I'm just speaking. But it is true, though, that if we're staying in a certain state of being and limiting ourselves from one action or another, and we're just frozen, of course, it's normal, but there's going to be a point in time where you're going to have to face that one point or another. And so that's when it's in the conscious preparation of confronting something within your contract. And this is what I mean by it can be triggering for people, which I'm respective and loving towards that. So when we look at that sacred geometry of all the sentient beings and how we are and how we correlate and how everything is literally this beautiful, cohesive, let's say, tapestry where things just start to align and the synchronicity starts to unfold and unfurl. And sometimes things don't go our way, sometimes things go phenomenally our way, right? But we look within. And if we look like how, like in the geometric aspect, if I speak about Dr. Masaru Emoto with the secret language of water and how the chemicals, the biochemical responds to the word spoken. Again, word spoken, or to spell. When you write something near the water reflects a frequency. It has its own mirror neurons, or mirror neurons, or what creates and amplifies with our empathy. Anyways, off topic, but still, it does relate. And when we look at that and we look at our life as like a petal, and each life of ours is like a beautiful sacred petal, and we look at that cycle and how profound that cycle of our life is. And then we look at the inner sanctum and the inner symmetry of that. And there's just this profound state. in our universal cosmic knowledge, right? We have this infinite application of wisdom that we are in pursuit of. And even in the paradox, though, of, having this fulfillment, because there's such this vastness, it's almost seemingly impossible to learn everything about our contracts, because we're still learning things in all these other ways. But when we go within and we're internalizing our soul's memory, our soul's consciousness, and we feel a call towards something, we feel a familiarity with something. That is why having custody of your mind is so important, because when you're right there at the precipice of doing something phenomenally great for yourself, sometimes the yin and the yang in this life, the light and the dark, the moon and the sun, sometimes there are things that can just get in our way as an obstacle. But if we're allowing ourselves to fully see as clearly as we can, then that predisposition to self-sabotage, or the predisposition to shutting ourselves down before we can even begin, which is also aligned with self-sabotage, or in the aspect of perfection, where perfectionism is also applied with that self-sabotage, because you're in the pursuit of everything has to be so perfect that it's never good enough to share with the world. And that's so common, right? And again, these are not judgments. These are all just shared experiences, observationally, personally, all of the above. And, it's the acute time. Every day is an acute time to look at how you can change and improve and get closer to God, get closer to Buddha, get closer to the universal oneness, get closer to Source, get closer to your angelic realm, get closer to that divine majesty that is within yourself. And being able to transcend any of the control that is coming from a place that is out of your control, identifying that, right? We are controlled constantly by media. We are controlled by subliminal messages in music, in movies, in television, in commercials, in billboards, in marketing companies. I mean, we have been subliminally affected for so long. And if we look in ancient times at symbolisms, symbols are how, with our mirror neurons, that we correlate, correspond, and then we course correct and redirect ourselves, right? Or we look at symbols, like look at the ancient Egyptians, right? And the Aztecs and the Anunnaki. I mean, so many civilizations, ancient civilizations, Lemurian, Atlantean, Syrians, Arcturians. I mean, symbols are everywhere. Symbols are here today in sacred geometry that God's created. We are part of that symbology, right? Every mechanism of our anatomy is also in tandem with symbols. So we are symbols walking and living, and we're also attuned to symbols. So why not attune ourselves to the symbols that actually work for us and look past and transcend the symbols that are there to subvert our will to something that is not conducive to our healing or our exponential growth or exponential improvement, right? But in the place and time of having so much that is out of control and seeking control and getting to a place of what I'm able to control at this particular point in time, right? And what am I not able to control right now? But what can I control right now? So that is when you really want to recognize that, what we don't know and what we do know. It's a fundamental force. And so the things that we don't know and we're out of control with, we allow ourselves to celebrate ourselves, celebrate what we do know, celebrate what we can control, celebrate that we recognize maybe a root cause or the genesis of something, but we loosen the judgment. We release the judgment. We work on that. And we work towards being more inquisitive with an open heart, open mind, open soul. And like I've said before, sometimes it's so hard to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love myself. Oftentimes people cry the very first time they try it, or even 100 times when they do it, right? And sometimes, though, I'm fine. I can say I love you in the mirror, but then maybe 10 years later, they can't do it. It's okay. None of us are perfect. And what is perfection? Everything is perfectly aligned as it should be, as long as we allow that divine perfection to instill within us, instill within our heart, mind, body, soul, consciousness. And we go into the fluidity, right? And we go into the fluidity of the self-love and the departure of the judgment that we naturally are attuned to self-imposing, because it becomes an inherent learned behavior to judge ourselves at times, part of survival, a mechanism for fitting in, or I'm not good enough, right? Self-worth. Am I lovable? Am I worthy enough? My unworthy pattern. So we go into these patterns. And just in closing, right, one thing that's especially relative, that critical thinking, when our critical thinking is compromised, we lose our power. So I intend on continuing on this subject and topic on my next show. And just in addition to closing, though, think about your personal growth, your emotional intelligence, your psycho-spiritual intellectual state. Think about what would be a goal, even if it's like, wow, I want to stop judging myself. Remember, 21 days to conscious recondition the mind. The neural pathways start to learn like a new muscle. So one aspect, an element of self-love and self-improvement would be perhaps finding one goal, recognizing when you're subverting yourself to self-sabotage, or recognizing when it's not your thought that is your own, and say, I am in control of my mind. I am no longer going to suppress the control of my mind. I'm going to hold agency over my mind. I am in my power, and I'm not allowing any other external source to reign over my mental and heart and spirit processes. So, I hope that all of you have enjoyed this segment for today. And I hope that all of you are really allowing yourself to embrace your self-love and your self-acceptance, and knowing that you can give yourself the permission to be your best self. And that you're worthy, that you're lovable, you're worth it, and that you are always in control of your mind, body, heart. Well, it has been a pleasure, as always, to be with you today on the transmission of the Beyond Earth Show. Once again, I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and I wish you all a most beautiful and magical and phenomenal remainder of your weekend. I'll be back. I'll see you again next time. Thanks again. Bye.